Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Studies show that some teenage boys are being shown posts on TikTok featuring violence and promoting misogynistic views. In general, teenage girls are being recommended very different content based on their interests. I'm joined in studio now by Andrew Kong, former TikTok user safety analyst. You're very welcome, Andrew.
Thank you very much for having me.
And Andrew, I was asking you before we came on there during the news why you wanted to do this. And you just think people need to see under the bonnet and understand how all this works a little more.
Yeah, absolutely. Because like most people don't really know how the sort of recommendations and the For You page work and how prevalent it is to, you know, for users to see the harmful content on all the social media's company. So I'm just here to sort of basically talk about it so that people can know about it and make an sort of informed decisions on whether or not to use it or, you know, use it for it. Yeah.
So tell us a bit more about your role at TikTok.
Yeah, absolutely. So I joined TikTok as an analyst in the planning division. So my job was to basically forecast and predict the amount of volume that people are seeing in every sort of region or a country. And then my job is to make sure that there are enough sort of human moderation resources there to make sure that the platform is safe and for all users.
So a lot of this is also done in conjunction with you with AI. So things can be flagged, but what's getting missed?
So sometimes AI, as much as, you know, it's quite accurate for it, there are just about, let's just say, 10 to 15% around which can be missed by the machine learning detection model. So those are actually reviewed by the human moderators. Human moderators also help the AI in the way that they help label whether a content is a harmful content or not as well. So that's how they operate in hand-to-hand together.
Yeah. So what are the standards at the minute? What would raise a flag?
So either a user flag it, so after you've seen a post that is sort of harmful to you, like graphic violence or pornography, you know, any of those, you know, like horrible contents on TikTok, you can flag it and it will go directly to the human moderator, and the human moderator will sort of moderate it based on the community guidelines. And sometimes those content were automatically detected by the machine as well, and the machine will automatically detect it and then sort of suppress it from it. But even then, there are some content that are stay sort of floating around in there because, you know, there are millions and millions of content around in TikTok, so that you can't necessarily expect the company, all social media company, not just TikTok, to, you know, moderated everything and seen everything. So there's always a harmful content floating around everywhere.
And even though earlier I mentioned the cyber safe kids information that was released yesterday that said, you know, a huge amount of young people in primary and secondary school had been upset by what they'd seen online. I mean, obviously, I don't have the actual figures for it, but I'm sure there's a lot of them who don't actually report it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure a lot of them don't. Like even myself, sometimes don't report it because it's just, you know, like I just decide to swipe it out rather than seeing it and then reporting it again. So and most of the teenager and the kids probably don't know how to report it as well. So they would just decide to swipe it, you know, and the video would go away. But the thing is, the recommendation engine is actually fuel in that way. So if you don't report it, and the recommendation engine think that you like it, and then they potentially give you more of those violating contents or harmful contents to you.
So talk to me about the kind of nub of this and the headline that we took from this before you coming on and the algorithm showing teenage boys more misogynistic and violent content than girls. How did you discover that?
So I was conducting an internal investigations on how prevalent it is for the harmful content in UK and Ireland as a region to start. And I wanted to sort of basically start a conversation around in TikTok about sort of issue policy. So the issue policy is a sort of specialized moderator who are just sort of checking to make sure that there are no harmful content, like, for instance, hate speech or bullying, harassment or pornography, and they're especially trained. They're specially trained, and they're just purely trained on those policies. So that's how I started the... So I wanted to start a conversation internally, so I did analysis on it. And it was just basically, you know, to see the prevalence of those content in UK and Ireland, and then kind of broke it down by the age and the genders. And that's when I found out that teenage sort of boys who are living in UK and Ireland tend to be suggesting, and they see more of those violating content, those graphic violence contents and, you know, misogynistic contents more to than girls.
And the more they see it and the more they don't report it, even if they are upset and swipe on, the more it keeps bringing it back to them. And I mean, look, I'm more annoyed, obviously, by that one. But to know that the girls are just being pushed pop singers, pop music and makeup raised my blood temperature a little bit as well.
Yeah. And also, like, I think the girls were also shown some of those, like, impossible beauty standards and challenges that I'm pretty sure, you know, we are aware of, those, you know, challenging the beauty trends and stuff that are just, you know, are very harmful to the girls. So, and that has an impact on the girls as well, in a way that they have insecure about their how they look, and they, you know, they think that they're fat, and, you know, even though they're not. So there are sort of lots of negative consequences to what the girls as well, because of those beauty trends and, you know, stuff as well.
And likewise to the boys, the desensitized nature of viewing this content, particularly in a passive sort of way that, that people scroll, that it's just becoming embedded in their consciousness, and they don't even realize how much it may be impacting on their behavior.
Yeah, exactly. I think just when you started seeing those content, you know, like maybe day to day, and depending on how usage you are, like, those content just kind of embedded in your brain, and you just sort of kind of became like, oh, okay, this is just, you know, someone being killed, which is not a normal subject to be, you know, for the teenage people to be talking about it, but it just became a topic of discussions, and it just is very harmful for them, I would say, yeah.
Do you know what always gets me, Andrew? The fact that if somebody puts up a picture on, say, I know you're here for TikTok, but say on their social media, breastfeeding their child and are extolling the virtues of that, it's whipped down in seconds. Likewise, there's somebody I know through work who talks about the importance of a breast check, and she has these silicone boobs that she shows people how to do it. That instantly gets whipped down. Likewise, it's come up in conversation a lot that if people are talking about what's going on in Palestine, that gets pulled down immediately. So how are these things slipping through the net?
So the thing is, I think it has something to do with the detection model, so to speak. So the detection model work really well in terms of images, and it doesn't really do well in sort of, you know, speeches or the video. So when sort of someone sort of, you know, they usually have lots of false positive as well. So one, in the case of, let's just say, breastfeeding, I think the machine would just potentially just sort of saw the breast, and they just, oh, this is a nudity, and then taking it down. So that's why sort of I kind of wanted to talk about it more as well, because, like, those detection model need to be do much more than just detecting whether it is a breast or whether it is, you know, like a genitalia, and taking it as a thingy. Rather, it has to be more of a contextual way, in the way that whether it is a campaign about the breastfeeding awareness or whether it is a campaign about the, you know, breast cancers and stuff. And those models need to be trained in that way. And we have a technology nowadays to do that. So, you know, it's just, I think it's time for the social media companies to step up and then, you know, use the model technology, modern technology that we have available, to make it much better for all of us.
What about the age limits that are put on these social media outlets? I mean, kids as young as 13 are just logging on. It is just the nature. You can just switch the date of birth to suit yourself. So that's not really stopping things. Is that something we need to look at?
I think so as well. I think that would be really sort of, it would be the sort of the government job to came up with some sort of regulations. I think Ofcom in the UK is trying to implement some sort of regulation where the kids, the teenage kid from 13 to 18 has to be verified by an ID to do it. I think similar regulations should be implemented here and across in Europe as well. And then, you know, there should be a way for the algorithm, the recommendation algorithm, to tone down for those users and have more targeted approach so that the kids who are using between the 13 to 18 shouldn't be watching those harmful content. They wouldn't be exposed to those harmful content for it. I think there's a way to do it. I think just, you know, the government also need to regulate as well, I would believe.
Yeah, so we're pointing the fingers at the social media companies to do more. We're pointing the finger at the government to do more through legislation. What about personal responsibility of parents? And I am a parent of a 10 and a 13-year-old. I'm up against this and swimming in this water myself. But we do need to be conscious of what our kids are watching and start having those conversations, don't we?
Yeah, no, totally. I think like there should be a way for the parents to see and sort of say like what sort of content that your children are being exposed to. There should be a functionality on the app that, you know, 13 to 18 year old, and if you're the parent, you should see those things. So that sort of transparency I think is needed. And that's also like why I'm here as well. If you want to talk about the algorithm, you know, the sort of algorithm that so the parents can also aware of the exposures to it as well. And it should be, I think, a concerted effort between the technologies, companies, as well as the government and the users to come up and create, you know, something that will be safer for everyone. Yeah.
So what's your advice to parents? Is it spot checks, keeping an eye? I mean, something that really gets me, and again, I don't know how much you can comment on it, with Snapchat, what they're viewing disappears. So a lot of the time as a parent, you don't even know what they've seen or not seen or even shared.
Yeah, no, I think Snapchat is just a totally different level of, you know, of things. I actually don't even know how to say. Like I myself don't use Snapchat because it just sort of is very, it's I don't know, it's very like slightly dodgy for me. Just, you know,
it's a whole other level of crazy.
It's a whole other level of crazy. Yeah. So for me, I think is the if you know. Like, the children, there should be a relationship, there should be a transparency between the kids and the parents in a way that the parents also know of what sort of content they've seen, and the kids should also be able to freely talk about it in a way that, like, you know, in the conversations where, like, mommy, I'm seeing these things, like, what sort of things I should do about it. I think that sort of environment is needed between the parents as well, because, you know, the good thing would be a tech company to implement a feature where you can see what your children are being exposure to. But at the moment, we don't have that. So I think that it's be to create a relationship in that way.
What's the appetite of the social media companies then towards this? Are there constant meetings trying to catch up with this, trying to take this on board? You know, from the inside.
I think there are sort of several people. There are lots of people that I know of that are very much focused on the child safety and, you know, like making sure that the teenage and the users are not exposed to any of those harmful contents. There are sort of people trying to make sure that those policies are implemented correctly as well. But honestly, the corporation objective is about making revenue and how much profit they can get. So like we are kind of going against that operation as well, because they want you, the more user, the more daily active user that they have, the more they can persuade, you know, people to promote their products on their social media platform. So it's very sort of like, it's very contradictory, so to speak, I would say so, yeah. But there are lots of people, I think, internally who are trying to make sure that the platforms are safe for every users.
Well, thank you for speaking out. Yeah, it's much appreciated, because trying to navigate through all of this isn't easy for anybody. And to get an insider opinion is really, really helpful. Andrew Kong there, former analyst on user safety at TikTok. I'd like to get your thoughts on this. Perhaps you're a parent, perhaps you're somebody who has viewed violent material or material that you didn't want to see. Did you report it? What did you do? Texter says, most of us parents are aware of the dangers of smartphones and social media on kids, and it is great that it's finally being widely discussed and challenged. When are we going to discuss and challenge the violence and misogynistic content in video games and movies? I think the damage being done by these is not recognised or correlated to the increase in violence in society. I went to Deadpool over the weekend with my 17-year-old. I was horrified by the level and volume of violence in the movie. The corporations behind these games and movies need to be challenged. We can't continue to normalise violent and misogynistic content anywhere. Another says, we have violent content pushed to boys and violent offenders getting suspended sentences. So the message going out to boys is that violence is okay, actually. Another says TikTok, YouTube, etc. should be classed as broadcasters and made subject to the same constraints, etc. as RTE and Sky. I'd also like to hear, because as I said to Andrew there, yes, we're pointing the finger at the social media companies. Yes, we're looking for legislation to help us with this. But as parents, are we having enough conversations with young people? I mean, if you have given a device to your child, particularly a phone, there's a bill attached to that phone, which I bet you are footing. So is it up to us to just take it off them, see what's going on, have a conversation with them? Are you doing that? 53106 at a cost of 30 cent, or you can also email lunchtimelive@newstalk.com.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.